Okay. Ready? Good morning. Romans chapter 1, so we are start. You know there's 16 chapters, so we're not going to
7 years.
No, we're not going to try to belabor too much, but if you have questions, then that's where we need to stop and ask, but I'm not going to try to cover a lot of material. But Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And I'm going to stop right there, only because at least we'll get one verse, right? So I don't want to read down the 7. But we'll at least introduce the book. So let's start with prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for preserving these things as we look for enlightenment, for instruction, and for edification as we read the things that you would have us to know today as members of the body of Christ. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us, Lord, to equip us. To be part of members of your purpose and plan. We thank you for all these members to gather today. Lord, strengthen us according to our needs. Help our unbelief as we read your word. We pray that as we study these things, that the fruit may abound to our account and it may be for your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Romans, 16 chapters, right? And I wanted to say this because before we start, I think, and this is Melissa, she's here, and this I'm saying this, I guess, for her too. When it comes to rightly dividing scripture, you know, it's good to know, like one lady said in another class, she says, I need to know what God is saying to me today. What is he doing today? So when Paul, an apostle, is one sent from God. And Paul says he's our apostle. So when he starts to write his doctrine, that's directly related to us. That's directly to us as Gentiles. Okay? But you can't separate it. You don't want to separate it so much where you don't understand what God is doing. So Romans is 1/66th of the whole, right? And when you get even closer, it's 1/13th of Paul's epistles. And even the book is 1/16th of the book. And the chapter is got 17, what? It's got how many verses in chapter 1? 32 verses. So it's 1/32nd of that chapter. Why are you saying that? I'm saying that because you want to know how what you're reading fits into what Paul wants to get over. And what Paul wants to get over, you want to know how that fits in what God is getting over, wants to get over. That helps you when you're finding out what God wants me to do or what's in there for me. What's he saying? What's he doing? Right? Okay. And maybe we can clarify that a lot of that as we go forward. He's writing to the Romans. And I'm going to say this just in passing. Is those are the very people that Christ was coming to deliver the Jews from the dominion of. When they're in under Roman captivity, in the big picture, Israel, they should not have been in captivity, should they? They should not have been under control of Gentiles. They should have been what? The head and not the tail. the Gentiles should have been coming to them and being subject to them, not the other way around. Well, why are they in that situation? Because of unbelief. God has set them aside as being the head and not the, and they're the tail. So Gentiles are, if they're to come in on Israel, what happens to the Gentiles in their relationship with God? If the people that you're supposed to have a relationship with God don't have a relationship with God, what happens to you? Let me rephrase that. If I'm relying on you to get to God and you leave God,
there's no access.
So when you start to go through Romans, that's where Paul is, he's getting to those things that, you know, I wish I could make it real simple and just open my head up and open your head up and pour it all into your head. Then you'd know exactly what I'm trying to say. When Paul is going through these things, you're looking at two things. That this is what God is doing. He's reconciling the world to himself. And he's transforming those believers into the image of his son. Why is he doing all that? Because it's part of his purpose and plan. Now, I was coming over here and I thought about this. If you walked into a room and you saw tables and chairs, decorations, and people sitting in there, dressed up, whatever they were in, would you go in and ask them, where'd you get those shoes from? Or what kind of purse is that? Or what are you drinking? Would you ask them that? What was the first thing you would want to know?
What's
going on in here? What's happening here? So when we start reading books in scripture, we'll go in and get a verse out. And we'll try to make that verse work for us. Not wondering, why is that verse, what's going on here? Why is it working? What's the purpose of Romans? What's the purpose of this verse? So for example, why would God even raise Paul up? Who is Paul? Look, that's your apostle. And if you went to 10 people outside of here and they said, who is Paul? And you say, that's your apostle. That's our apostle for today. Right? Now you think, okay, how many people do you know that can't even get past that? You don't even know why I'm here. So for me to start discussing the details, it doesn't make any sense to you. If Paul says, I'm your apostle, and you question him, it doesn't matter what he says after that, because you don't believe it. You don't know why he's there. So when Paul shows up,
he starts with his credentials.
All right, let's get started, because I know this. Verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, he introduces every one of his epistles. He explains his position, who he is. He says, Paul, what?
An apostle.
Who is Paul? Was an apostle. Why do we listen to Paul and not Peter, James, John, Matthew, or...
Because they were sent to Israel. We're not Israel.
Okay. Before he was Paul, he was what?
Saul.
He was a Jew, wasn't he?
Well, he was still a Jew.
He's still a Jew, but he was Saul before that. And if you know about Saul, you know that he was working with God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No, he wasn't. I'm just saying that to make sure he was not working with God. As a matter of fact, he said, I was his chief enemy. He said, I was before, he said, before that, in 1 Timothy, he says, I was a blasphemer, I was injurious, I was a persecutor.
But I did it.
He fought against God's program, didn't he? He says, so much so, he says, when Stephen was stoned,
I was consenting to his death.
He says, I was okay with it. Right? And he says, so much so, I was so against what God was doing that I desired authority, I desired permission from the leadership to persecute believers to other cities. How zealous is that? Well, did you hear the conviction that about that, didn't he?
Well, if it was other cities, he was committing his time and attention.
So let me ask you this. Was he honest?
Mm-hmm.
Was he sincere?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I would say, the big question was he right?
No.
What does that tell you about people who are honest and sincere?
Sincerely wrong.
They could be wrong, couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter because look at Acts 22. Verse 1. He says, men and brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. You know where Paul got his permission from? From the preachers and the deacons.
Mm-hmm.
I said from the preachers and the deacons. The men who are disseminate the information every Sabbath. That they should be telling you how to be transformed to the image of his son, and yet the information they give you are doing what? Just the opposite. The information that should be producing godliness in you, and yet it's making you ungodly. Okay. I'm trying to make this where we are today. Don't you want to do what God wants done?
Amen. Therefore, you need to know what God's doing.
You need to know what he's doing, and you need to know what he's saying, so you can have faith in what he's saying and what he's doing. And faith comes by
hearing
the word of God to you. He says, I persecuted this way. And he says, I went to Damascus to bring them back to Jerusalem to be punished. Verse 14. And this is after the Lord appears to Saul. And as a matter of fact, go back up to verse 10. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? You know what? I can't even cut it. Go back to verse 7. Okay, 6. We're already there. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath what?
Chosen thee,
that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto
all men
of what thou hast seen and heard. And he says, and why tarry? Rise and be baptized. Now, if you didn't know anything else about Paul, you know that God chose him right there to, he said in the previous verse that you are appointed to this. You know what an appointment is?
It's a predetermined meeting.
A predetermined meeting, a predetermined assignment. Where they call you and it says, Johnny, you have a doctor's appointment at 7:30 Tuesday. They already got you on the book. This ain't some fly-by-night walk-in. This is part of the plan. And then when you leave there, they give you another slip that says, come back in 6 months. Right? Because this is a plan here. Paul was raised up not haphazardly. God had a time frame where he knows what he's doing, and he says, now's the time where I need to let the people in on what I'm doing and what I'm going to do with you. So he says, Paul is the man that I'm using. The appointment, he is meeting the appointment. He says, I'm going to appear unto him. I want him to know my will and see me and hear me. Okay, Galatians chapter 1. Now, you know these verses. You know when I say Galatians 1, you know exactly where I'm going, don't you? Verse 11. Paul says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does revelation mean?
Revealing.
Revealing, right? So, did Paul have the law and the prophets at his disposal?
Yeah. Gamaliel did his job.
He was trained by the best. Look, He had all the scriptures at his disposal, didn't he? But the Lord says, I didn't get this from man. So what Gamaliel taught me, what did he say? What he taught me, that's not what I'm telling you. He said, I didn't get it from man. Neither was I taught it by man. But by the what?
Revelation.
By the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, for you have heard, he gives you the contrast. You have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now, let me ask you this. Let me make this statement. He says, you heard of my conversation. That means his lifestyle. He says, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, touching the law,
blameless.
He says, but what I counted gain for me, that I counted loss for him, for the excellency of the knowledge of him. You said what? Only reason I'm saying that is because this. He said, I profited in the Jews' religion. You know what we see today?
Religion.
They run it, the building is running over. That's look, the closer you get in the religion, the farther you get from him. The closer you get in the activity, the physical activity, the farther you get away from that spiritual relationship. He says, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. He says, I persecuted. You know what religion will make you do? It'll make you fight God. When he comes to you and says, this is what I want you to do, and you tell God, we don't do that here.
No.
God says, I need you to stop doing that. And you say, I've always done this. You say, I wouldn't say that. He says, 14, he says, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to what? To reveal his son to me.
In me.
That I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I what?
Conferred
not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Now, he says, I like that. He says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, he says, to reveal his son in me. You know what's interesting? I was doing some studies once, and you know the gospel, there's a lot of gospels. Well, gospel of the kingdom, gospel of God. We just looked at the gospel. We're looking at the gospel of God right now. The gospel of the grace of God, the everlasting gospel, the gospel of peace. There's different terms for
one gospel. That's what they say.
That's what they say. It's only, you know what?
And I think that's because they are conflating the term gospel with salvation. There's only one way of salvation.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. They think those words are synonymous.
Okay.
In other words, there couldn't be more than one, because that would mean that there are multiple ones. If I go ahead and give you that, and that would mean that I'd be on the wrong track. See,
that's so the very fact that they have different names. Now they could some of those things could contain some of the same information, but the only reason I say that is because this is whatever it is, whatever gospel you are reading. You know what the common denominator is? It's His Son. Without His Son, there is no good news. Every one of those gospels, are the foundation of it is His Son. Whether it's the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of circumcision, the gospel of peace, the gospel of your salvation, the everlasting gospel, it doesn't matter. It's all ties back to this, to His Son. And in particular, it's going to be His Son and His resurrection from the dead. When Paul said this, he says it would please God to reveal His Son in me. I'm not going to have you guess. When he says he wants to reveal His Son in me, that means he wants to he says, Paul, it's time for me to transform you into my image. He says, I'm going to show you, Paul, how great things you must suffer for what? For my name's sake. But, he says, you're going to suffer for my name. He says, you're going to know my will, right? You're going to see me. You're going to hear me. I'm going to reveal myself not just to you, but in you. You know, he wants to, you said this a couple of weeks ago, is people need to see Christ in us. They don't need to hear you talk about it. They need to see Him in us. We are His what? His workmanship, ambassadors. We're living letters. We're His epistle, known and read. What? Of all men. So when they see you, they shouldn't have to ask, "Hey, Mike, something different about you." And you just, really? Did you ask somebody about that? Or you just watch me? Because they'll say, you know what? That Mike, he's a different kind of guy. But you don't have to say, they can just see. They can just watch you and know that's a different kind of guy. You know, people ask me all the time. Not all the time, but they ask me. And they say, are you a preacher? Or in Detroit, they used to ask me this all the time. You a Muslim? You know, are you a black Muslim?
Because, why in the world would they ask you that?
Because they see, what they see in you is not what they see in other people. The Muslim, they have a doctrine that gives you a form of godliness. Gotcha. So when people see that, they ask that question.
And if that's all they're familiar with.
If that's all they're... when Paul said that, he to reveal His Son in me. In John... In John, the Lord shows up. He says, He was the what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld... He says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father. He says, I am coming to declare Him. He says, you want to see the Father, Johnny? Watch me. How many of us would say that? How many of us go to work Monday and say, you want to see God? Watch me for a year. No. You know what? That's not God's aim, though. He says, I want you to be transformed. He says, that you might prove. What is that? Good and acceptable.
And perfect.
He said, I can't do that. He says, be not conformed to this world. Look.
That you may prove.
Be not. Mm-hmm. Be ye. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you?
Don't do this, do that.
Don't
this.
Do. Who? You. Be not conformed to this world. He said, but be ye
transformed
by the
renewing of your mind,
that you
may prove.
Might prove. What is that? An acceptable and perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. What's so different from that? When the Lord says to Paul, he says, I'm going to appear to you and I'm going to reveal myself to you that you would know my will and see that just one and hear his voice. And in Galatians, he says, I'm going to reveal me in you.
He had to submit to that though and believe it.
Be not. His submission was when? When he said this, Lord, you know, it took me, I said this before, I was teaching Sunday school, teaching children's church, preaching on Sunday, had a Saturday class, and I had never surrendered myself to the Lord. Let me elaborate on that. Is I was reading Romans 12, read Romans 12, taught Romans 12.
But was not conformed to Romans 12.
But I was in class Wednesday night, and my pastor was teaching Romans 12. And he got through there, and he's like, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you. See, before it was you and you and you. It wasn't me. I had never looked at it personally. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And I'm sitting there, and he said this. He says, have you ever done that? He said, if you have never done that, he says, why don't you stop and do it right now? And it looked like the Lord just came right down, sat down next to me. And he said, what about tonight?
Not right now.
What about tonight, Frank? And I said, wow. I had to get up and go upstairs. That's how powerful it was. And I said, but what I've learned since then is this. It's incident by incident where you present. where you yield. Where today you might say, okay, today, Lord, I'm available. Or right now, I'm available. And then the next hour, you say, not right now. Melissa, she said, I called you. And you didn't answer. See that? The Lord says, I called you. I called you, Johnny. You didn't answer.
Sure did.
Ah. You like, ooh. Adam?
Right.
He said, I called you. But he says, I called you to reveal myself what? In you. Galatians. We in Galatians 2, chapter 2. Verse 19. Well, you know it. He said this, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself what? For me. That's when Paul says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? You know what he knew at that point? I'm gone. When he said, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus. Whom thou persecutest. And he said, it's hard for you to stay in this fight. But what he didn't know was God wanted to use him. And God had, he said, that's my man right there. Go thy way, Ananias, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Paul says, you know what, Angie? I'm your pattern. God wants to show you how great things you must suffer for his name's sake. And you said, I'm not interested in that. Romans, back to Romans. So when Paul said, when he says Paul a servant, and you know what a servant is, and back in the Exodus it said this, if you were a slave and every 7 years they were obligated to let you go free. But if that slave was taken care of by his master, and he says, I love my master, and I don't want to leave, he would go and have his master take him to the doorpost and bore a hole in his ear. And then he would become not a bond slave, but a free servant, a willing servant. That's what Paul says. He says, Paul.
So the bond slave is like the law, willing servant would be on this side of
the... He said, right. You could, some people serve by obligation. Yeah. Paul says, I'm serving because I want to. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. When he said, what would thou have me to do, he meant it. He volunteered himself.
So when
talks, when he states about him being separated unto the gospel of God, is that like what he said, I guess it was in Galatians, where he said he was separated from my mother's, separated from my mother's womb? In other words, from the Jews' religion.
Right.
Separated from that,
right,
which was the law, to free man.
You know, you could, some, when you separate some things, that means
lights from the dark.
Yeah, that means they don't naturally go together. But when you sever something, it's a natural union there. So when Paul, he said, I'm a Jew, I'm a Hebrew, I'm a Pharisee.
Can it also mean sanctified?
Set apart. Yeah. He says, man, I love the Jews. I'm a Jew.
This doesn't come naturally.
It does not. It's not natural for me to. He says, you think I went to school for this? You think I'm just going up and leave? If I wasn't sincere? If, when they meet Paul, he said, there he is right there. That's the guy who left everything to follow Jesus. And they say, Paul, why you do that? And he said, to know him is more excellent. You know what? I'm going to pick with them. You got two ladies right here. They left big churches. You know what them ladies say? There they go. There they go right there. That's them girls they left. Went over there to that Memphis place over there and talking about that great stuff. And they left all this. Look, they come from Holly Springs. Don't you think they would like to go 5 minutes down the street to be at home? Of course. But they come over here, and God knows it's not for me. So, but he's, when it's natural for them to want to be there. That's what the flesh likes, the comfort of that. And that's where, when God would say, you know what, this is not about you. This is not about you, he says. When Paul says, when the Lord says, I'm revealing my son, when I'm revealing myself in you, we just looked at it last week before last. Where the Lord, he, you know what he says? Not my will. Not what I want. Not what I want. If the Lord says, I'm transforming you to the image of my son, that means you got to think like me. And the Lord says, it's not about me, it's about the Father. And Paul said, it's not about me, it's about the Son. And we have to grow to that same point where you say, it's not about me, it's about the Son. That's what being transformed to the image of his Son, that's part of it, is what does the Father want? Not me. See, you know, kids, know what your kids do? They ask for stuff. Don't they, Mike? Hey, can I? Gimme. Can we? They never ask you, can I do something for you, Ma? Can I wash the dishes for you? Can I vacuum for you today? You know what? If they came to you and said that, you'd be like, are you okay?
What'd you do with my kids?
Mia?
How you feeling?
What do you want?
It'd knock you back, wouldn't it? That's just the opposite of what a son should do. So what Paul, when he comes, he's setting the standard. He says, first, let me tell you who I am, how I got here. I'm a servant and I'm an apostle. He sent me to you. He separated me to the gospel of God, which concerning his son. He said he separated me to the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. You know what? The Lord, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to Philippians, why was he raised from the dead? Philippians chapter 2. He was raised from the dead. He said he was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death. What do you see in that? He says he was in the form of God already. Total submission. That's why he says, I am the what? I am the image. So when he comes and he's walking the earth and he's doing all these things, and they see him. Tell you something interesting. We were talking about the Gospels. This is interesting. In John, do you know in the book of John, the word gospel is not even mentioned? Nor preach. I thought that was interesting when I was looking at that. And you say, wow. Matthew, yes. Mark, yes. Luke, yes. John, no. So naturally I say, okay, Lord, there's something there. I know it's something there. So I had to leave it alone for a while. And then after a few, I can't remember how long it was, here's where he said, when you go through chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. People, you know why people believe? They believe because they see the things that Jesus does. They see his miracles. So they said, they saw his miracles and they believed. And they believed because of the miracles. And he does all these miracles. And the last miracle he does is raise Lazarus. And even after seeing all that, all those miracles, they still say, we don't want them. And he says, well, it's time, he's going to the cross then. And after that, no more miracles.
Say the resurrection.
Besides that. That's, matter of fact, they said, show us another sign.
There's no sign to give me but the son of Jonah.
He said, yeah, we saw all that. We need one more. Give us one more. And he says, well, this one more you will see. And he says, even after that, they won't believe. But he was raised from the dead. He was declared to be the Son of God. When the centurion, they said, surely he was the Son of God. And God raised him from the dead because he did exactly what the Father wanted done. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If he had no sin, he had no reason to die. He took on our sin. That he became sin for us, that we
may be made the righteousness of God in him.
Now, In other words, he did a exchange with us. Is this. He says, to know, I want you to know this, that God was in that body, reconciling the world unto himself. What's next? If he's, you know what God is doing, he's two things. He's reconciling the world unto himself. What's the next thing? We talk about it all the time. Two things. He's reconciling the world, and then as far as we're concerned, he's transforming us to the what? Okay, watch this. You can't beat this with a bat. He says he's reconciling, he was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Right? And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And we beseech you to be reconciled unto God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. He says, you want to do what he wants done? And he wants you to do what he wants done. As a matter of fact, he is going to make sure that your obstacles are removed. He says, if you want to do it, he says, I will make sure by my grace that you are able to do it. So what stops us? You said sin.
Unbelief.
Well, okay. Well, we say that. He says unbelief. I'm thinking of the major players. That takes care of all these. Or sin, law, death. Those are your enemies right there. When I say enemies, that's what keeps you from that keeps you from being transformed to the image of his son. That keeps you from manifesting the glory of God. That keeps you from being a perfect man. Did he take care of sin?
Yes.
How do you know that?
He said so.
He said so? We just read it. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, right? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into death, were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, that the body of sin, what? Okay. That henceforth we should not what? We should not serve sin. But we live unto him, right? What about the law? He took it out of his way. The things that were contrary to us and against us, he took it out of his way, nailing it to his cross. That we now can do the things that he wants done. Death. He said, now he says,
Where is thy sting?
He does say that. He says, he died unto sin once, but that he liveth what? Unto God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but through Jesus Christ. Now, in Colossians, same thing. He said that he has spoiled principalities and powers,
making a show
of them what? Triumphing over them in the cross. Now let me ask you something. Why you don't do right? Why don't we do right? We don't want to yield ourselves to it. And we haven't said what Paul said. Lord,
what would God have me to do?
So we're too busy walking in the flesh instead of spirit.
We still.
And that's every day.
That's every day. Every day. Every moment. That's what. When I said incident by incident, that's you have to say. I call them grace battles. Well, every day I have a grace battle. When I go home or go to work, the Lord says, are you going to fight today or I'm going to fight today? Is it going to be you or is it going to be me? In the Old Testament, the Lord said this. He said about the nation when they were supposed to go up and fight against another tribe. And they had an accursed thing in the camp. And Achan had hid it. And he said, don't go up. I'm not with you. Don't go up there to fight those people. I'm not with you. And they said, let's go. And they went up and they got beat. And they came back and Joshua was praying, Lord, Lord, what happened? You're supposed to be with us. And he says, uh-uh. Stop praying. Stop praying. He says, it's sin in the camp. He said, you need to find out who the transgressor is. And they had to line those people up. And when... this is how, when I say grace battles, is this. You have to find out the scriptures that replace your bad behavior. For example, you say, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. Speak the truth in love. See, if you don't know if you want to take off something, if you don't know what to put on, God, you can't be strong in his grace. If he says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgive one another, and you say, I don't like him, and I'm not going to forget that. Well, keep that on then. He's not going to come and make you take that off. Oh, you want to hold on? Hold on to it. You know. That's not being renewed after the image of his son. Because that's not what God wants. And you might say, well, whatever, next week. I'll do it next week. And the Lord said, okay. He's not going to make you. One guy told me, he said, the Lord, I don't know if somebody said, the Lord is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do nothing. That's grace. He's not going to force you. Look, every one of us.
So the fruit of the Spirit then requires our cooperation in the form of submission.
Yeah, the same way.
Without it, there is no fruit of the Spirit.
The same way the Lord... when the Lord was on earth and he submitted himself, over and over he would say, I do nothing of myself. But what I hear my Father say, that I do. Paul, he said, over and over he would say for us. When you look at his epistles, he's asking you. He beseeches us. That's a, you know what? Please do this. It's consistent with grace. He never, even if he says, you know what commandments I gave you by the Lord, those are still things that you could take or leave. Based on your, that's not, he wants you to do them, but you don't have to submit yourself to them. You understand what I'm saying? This still is still up to you to do those things. And you know that. You know that. In your own experience, you know that. You know that God is not forcing you to volunteer. You know that he's not forcing you to be transformed. You know he's not forcing you to yield your members. You know that. You know how you know that? Because you prove it every day. Every incident, as Sharon, every incident, you prove that. You prove that you have a choice. So we're going to stop there and pick up verse 2 and next week. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We pray that as we go forward in Romans, Lord, just strengthen us according to your purpose and plan, that we may understand why you've written these things and how they apply to us. We thank you for, again, each member represented here today, Lord. Just help our unbelief as we read the scriptures where we are weak, Lord, that you might continue to transform us to the image of your Son as we read and believe these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.